God. This is Sheila Crawford, the Lord's servant. Thanks for tuning in to the news portion of the Shofar Ministries Hour. As most of you are aware, a few weeks ago, Palestinian leader Abbas made a unity government with the known terrorist group Hamas, who still repeatedly calls for Israel's total destruction. Well, apparently, while that deal was being made, Hamas was also making a deal with Iran to do its bidding, and in return will now receive $200 million a year, military assistance from Iran's Revolutionary Guard, and as well advanced weapons. Iran already supports Hezbollah in Lebanon on Israel's northern border, and now Israel will have to deal with a larger and stronger group of jihadists in the Gaza Strip on its west side, and as well Al-Qaeda groups in the southern Mount Sinai area in Egypt. So, why worry so much about what Iran is doing with its nuke program when they have splinter groups surrounding Israel right now, ready to obey? All I need to say is, have you read Psalm 83 lately? Now might be a good time. So, what does the Pope have to say about all this while he visited Israel over the weekend? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Instead, he talked about peace with empty words and was sure to call Israel the state of Palestine. Are you kidding me? There is no such thing at this time. And that's very offensive to the Jewish population and definitely sends a strong message to Israel's enemies who want anything but peace. And everybody knows that. Coincidentally, the Pope left Israel the day before the Jewish people celebrate Jerusalem Day, which is today, in recognition of the victorious Six-Day War when they regained their sovereignty over Jerusalem, Gaza, the West Bank, and Mount Sinai, which they have given all back except Jerusalem, even though Israel allows the Muslims to call all the shots over the Temple Mount. And in fact, Christians and even the Jews are not allowed to pray there, only Muslims. Well, between you and me, I did anyway when I was up there. Very silently, of course, because if they even suspected you, you could be arrested. Anyway, 47 years ago, Israel experienced a great miracle. While the Arab countries of Syria, Egypt, and Jordan planned a war to annihilate Israel and throw the Jews into the sea, God had other plans, and he still does. And that's a fact. Oh, and do you think it amazing that the Six-Day War ended just in time for Shabbat and the Feast of the Celebration of Pentecost, too? Imagine that. Just a coincidence? Well, the definition of coincidence is when God is working undercover. Anyway, the polls closed today in Egypt. Military Commander Sisi appears to have won the vote as president, who has been filling the role of president since the coup ousted the Muslim Brotherhood. And he has officially barred the Muslim Brotherhood from Egypt, sentencing many to prison as well as death. Sisi will nonetheless have to meet the high expectations of those who backed him so enthusiastically in the hope that he can tackle poverty, unemployment, continued terror attacks, and many other social problems. And there was also an election held in the Ukraine yesterday for president, with 48-year-old billionaire Poroshenko the winner. Russia expresses, although without any Western intervention, a readiness for dialogue, even though Poroshenko helped to oust the previous president, Yanukovych, who was a Putin loyalist. So it will be tense, because Poroshenko enjoys support from the European Union and Obama, who are voicing pro-EU integration and pro-NATO sentiments. Putin is not a happy camper over this. But he is happy about signing that gas deal with China. Oh, well, you can't have everything, but you better not tell Putin that. Meanwhile, clashes continue there, killing 48 people just today of mostly pro-Russian separatists. The new President Poroshenko meets with Obama in Europe next week. That should be a pressure cooker. And lastly, please continue to pray for all the persecuted Christians in the world, as well as those who have had to endure the recent floodings, tornadoes, mudslides, wildfires, droughts, and so many other weather-related tragedies. And we covet your prayers for this end-time ministry. Remember, it's really you who keeps this program on the air, and we are way behind in donations for May. And a reminder, Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, on Friday, June 6th, I'll be speaking because it is the weekend of Pentecost Sunday. So join us at 7 p.m. as we commemorate this fulfilled appointment of the official birth of the church. Now stay tuned and don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Shalom and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on 1220 AM Christian Radio and the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. My name is Kent Littlejohn, your co-host tonight with Sheila Crawford, Minister of God's Word. This program, as well as all others, can be referenced in its entirety later this week at shofarministries.net. So open your Bible and get ready to study, because that's what we're here and commanded to do. 2 Timothy 2:15. But first, Sheila, we'll open tonight's program with a prayer.
Yes, I will. Shalom to you, by the way, Kent. And Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. For we do bless your holy name. It is the name above all names. Dear Abba, we thank you for your Son, Yeshua, who has saved and healed us from our worst disease called sin. And we highly praise you as we continue to lift up to you those particular prayer requests given to me this month. So many needs and many requests for family salvations. We beseech you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to heal these, your precious saints, of their sickness and diseases. We come against all cancers that are afflicting those who are called by your name and listening right now, as we also thank you for the answered prayers recently affirmed. May those who truly love you find extra favor in your eyes to stand against the evil one, as we also claim healings for drug and alcohol addictions plaguing our loved ones. Bring back the backsliders as you caress and pull at their hearts. And help those suffering from the many weather-related disasters as we grieve over the numerous Christians who are being persecuted around the world, especially in the increasing radicalized area of Sudan and those girls in Nigeria. I particularly think of Miriam and pray for an intervention of this pregnant mother of a 2-year-old sentenced to beatings and eventual hanging for refusing to denounce you, Lord Yeshua. Now be with us tonight as we study your word, and bless with abundance those who set aside this time to grow in you, and anoint them bountifully in your Holy Spirit as we all wait expectantly but patiently for your return. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
I'd like to remind our listeners that your end-time biblical questions can be sent to Sheila by email, sheila@shofarministries.net, or snail mail, box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021. And the lines are open should you have an end-time question at 888-677-WORD. And tonight we will continue in the book of Ruth, and I am so enjoying the typology.
Yes.
And much more is coming.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And have you, or, you know, I was thinking about this week. Have you, or maybe any of our listeners out there, ever contemplated living during that time period? I mean, we're talking 1000 BC. I would think that'd be pretty difficult.
Yeah, I would say.
Even if you, I mean, if you just try to wrap your head around it, I can't even imagine it. In fact, the closest I have ever come is to see the Amish, which I live nearby. And, of course, I have a couple Amish lady friends. But even they have phones now if they have any kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
But super nice people. And some are indeed saved. Did you know that?
Yep.
By the blood.
Mm-hmm.
And one's waiting for the rapture.
Doesn't an Amish lady babysit a couple of your grandchildren?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And she has 13 children, and she loves Jesus. And we often talk about his return. It's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the closest I've come to pioneer living. Anyhow, let's get into tonight's study of God's Word.
Do you mind if we review chapter 1?
Oh, I think that's a great idea. All right, let's see if I can sum it up here in one paragraph. All right, as we said, it takes place around the year 1000 B.C., and there was a famine in Israel, so Naomi and her husband and two sons headed east across the Jordan into Moab. Now, Naomi's husband soon died, and she was left with her two sons who married women of Moab named Orpah and Ruth. Then those two sons died as well, and Naomi was sure God was against her, but didn't know why. Now, about 10 years total went by when Naomi heard the famine was over and decided to go back to her homeland of Israel and told her two daughters-in-law to stay in their own town and find new husbands. Well, Orpah agreed, but Ruth clung, is the word, to Naomi and desired to travel with her. About a 70-mile rough terrain walk.
You also said the Jewish people read the book of Ruth in its entirety every year at Pentecost.
Yes. Now, they say it's because the story begins at the barley harvest, which was the first fruits of all the grains in the spring. And the story climaxes during the start of the wheat harvest, which is during Pentecost. And we brought out the connection last time that for us Gentiles, it's the official birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. And that was actually during Pentecost. And compared to the previous spring feast during Passover, we talked about the difference between the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And remember, during Passover, they weren't allowed to eat leavened bread. But now, during Pentecost, they were allowed to eat leavened bread. Do you remember, Kent, why this is so?
Well, leaven is a picture of sin, and Pentecost is a picture of the church, which has its sins atoned for.
Correct. Again, Passover is the removing of the sin. Had to get all the leaven out of the house and eat only unleavened bread. But now, through the blood of Christ, Pentecost represents how the church is not held responsible to pay for the debt of sin. It's now paid for, and so now the church can eat leavened bread. And again, it's all pictures of what he's done for us. Everything goes back to Jesus. And I also wanted to mention, because I didn't mention this last week, that even Matthew's parable in chapter 13, it describes, we know the parables are about the church, and it describes the church which was birthed at the wheat harvest and is referred to as the wheat who must put up with the tares till the time of the end.
And more interlocking.
That's right. It's all there if you just look for it. And this is what makes the Bible so interesting. Because even you can read it 100 times, and each time the Holy Spirit will reveal something else. It's absolutely, totally amazing. So, but in chapter 1, the key verse was actually, I think, in verses 16 and 17 when Ruth gives that sevenfold decision. Do you remember that? She said, for wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. And there was seven.
And it's a very famous verse.
That's right. There's seven parts to it. And, of course, we talked about seven being a complete number.
Right. And, you know, we encourage you to listen to our last week's program on Shofar Ministries for more of these gold nuggets.
I would hope that they would. Anyway, Ruth is really a most dramatic book of prophecy and typology. And again, It will help you understand Revelation 5, when Jesus is given the scroll as the earth's kinsman redeemer, and he was the only one that could. He paid the price with his life. He was very able, very willing, and soon he will take it back from the usurper, which is probably why God created the book of Ruth and had it played out so well.
He's so amazing, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. But just think that he actually helped that whole situation so it could go into the Bible and be a picture and a type of Jesus. You're right. He's amazing. Words enough to really say how exciting it is when you start seeing all these details put together that only God could do. Only God.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you really know that the Bible is written by him. So we are waiting to take possession. And in the meantime, it helps us to understand not just that we have been joined to our Hebrew roots as Gentiles, but also the distinctiveness between Israel and the church and how God deals with each differently. So, again, the outline of the book of Ruth is chapter 1, Love's Resolve. In other words, Ruth cleaving to Naomi. Tonight we're going to cover Love's Response now in chapter 2. And actually, chapter 1 and 2 is kind of a setup as the plot thickens. And we see Ruth is going to be gleaning tonight. And in chapter 3, next week, we'll be looking at Love's Request, and we'll see the threshing floor scene. And then finally, we'll close with Love's Reward in chapter 4, which is the redemption of both the land and the bride. So we'll be doing this for a few more weeks. Okay, I think we should get started because we do have a lot to cover. Could you read the last verse of chapter 1 so that we can stay in context and then go right into verse 1 of chapter 2?
All right. So Naomi returned, and that's to Israel, of course. I added that. But and Ruth and the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who came from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz.
So Boaz was from Naomi's husband's family. So he would qualify as a kinsman redeemer. Now, in the original, he's described as a mighty man. Number 1368, the original word is Gabor, which means he was in high standing, powerful. And as well, his actual name of Boaz means in him there is strength. We also know from Matthew's genealogy that Boaz is from the line of Judah.
Imagine that.
In fact, he was David's great-grandfather, and as well, Solomon, when he built the temple, put these two bronze pillars right in front, and he named them.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was named Boaz, and the other one was named, do you remember what it is?
Would it be Jachin?
Jachin, that's right. And Jachin, let me see. Boaz means in him is strength, again, a picture of Christ. And Jachin, another picture of Christ, his name means he shall establish. So I think he's talking about the church. What do you think?
I think so.
Okay. Okay, so of course the typology is that we too have a kinsman, Jesus. He had to be born a man because Adam was a man who sold the land to the enemy. And yet Jesus was sinless. And he had to redeem and will redeem back what Adam lost. Well, he redeemed it with his death, of course. He is the only one that could. He was ready, willing, and able, as specified in Revelation chapter 5. So they both connect. I think now we'll go on to verse 2.
All right. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter.
By the way, you could call this, in my estimation, the welfare system of those days, okay? Because if you were a landowner, it was a rule that you could only make one pass through your field. You could not go back a second time. The concept was what the reapers missed or what was spilled was left for the widows and the destitute. I think it's a pretty neat way of doing things. And by the way, I think that you should read that. It's from Leviticus 19, 9 and 10. Could you read the law of gleaning? And remember, glean means to clean, to clean it up, rid of anything left.
Sure. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God.
That's right. But here's an important part. One still had to gather it up. It's not just, it wasn't just handed over to them. You know, there's a Latin proverb that says, providence assists, not the idle. So I think that's an important point to bring out here. You know, it wasn't just handed to them. They still had to work for it.
Right.
Similar scripture in Deuteronomy 24:19 actually adds more. It says that if you follow this rule, the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands.
Another indication that if we give, we shall receive.
That's right. And it's called the law of reciprocity. You give and you receive.
Reap and sow.
Yeah, reap and sow. Okay, let's go to verse 3.
Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech.
That's right. That was Naomi's past husband who died. Now, Ruth might not have known exactly whose field it was at first, for they didn't always know where the boundaries were. But I think it's interesting that the scripture says Jesus happened to come to that part. So, coincidence that she's in Boaz's field or led there?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm told coincidence not a kosher word.
That's right. It's not. And actually, I'll repeat what I said in the news tonight. Coincidence is when God is working undercover. That's pretty good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's continue. Verse 4.
Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem.
Oh, another coincidence. Remember, Jesus was from Bethlehem.
And said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you.
Now that communicates a great deal to me. Again, great typology. The servants obviously really liked him. Like, we are willing servants of Jesus, the Lord of the harvest.
As Jesus is, and we really love him.
That's right. Amen to that. We really do. So, again, picture after picture, this whole book, this is what you should be looking for.
A willingness to serve.
And if you can get this down at seeing the pictures, then you could read almost any other story in the Old Testament, especially, and see pictures as well, once you get in the habit of doing it, you know, and
mm-hmm.
looking. Oh, it's just amazing. Okay, how about reading verse 5?
Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this?
So, what was the servant's name, Kent?
Doesn't say.
Although everybody else's name is given, I wonder why his name isn't. You know, sometimes we can see things easier when it isn't as obvious. Think back a little bit. Does this remind you of anything else? And I know it's a subtlety, I think, but profound nonetheless.
Oh, do tell.
Okay. Do you remember back in Abraham's day, this in Genesis 24, it says it was Abraham's servant. And they never give his name, in that context, when he searched for a bride for Isaac. Now, again, if you're looking for pictures, Abraham is the picture of God the Father finding a bride for his son, Jesus. And the servant is the Holy Spirit that helps. So we see this again here in Ruth. We see it in Abraham in Genesis 24. And the only reason that we do know his name is Eliezer is because way back in Genesis 15:2, Abraham happens to mention that he was his servant and his only heir. So he wanted some kids, you know, grandkids. But again, we don't know his name when speaking with Rebecca. And I think, again, that's just a clue that he was a picture of the Holy Spirit. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's right. He's just called Abraham's servant. Why is that?
Again, because I think he's the type of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who guides us, John 16:13. And he also adds, and he shall not speak of himself. Now, that's a huge clue as well. So, and one more thing. Guess what the name Eliezer means?
Comforter?
I think I told you that, yes. Yeah. You remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's more of this. We're going to see that, I think, even in the next verse, actually. So let's read verse 6, and it's an answer that Boaz actually asked his servant who this lady was.
Yeah, it ties back with verse 5, in fact. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "This is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab."
Okay, for the word servant, I just thought I'd be mentioning this. The word is Na'ar. And it actually means supervisor who supplied provisions and even paid them at the end of the day. So it wasn't just a low servant. It was somebody of importance, a supervisor. Okay? So I think that's important to point out, too, with the Holy Spirit. He's a supervisor, too. He's not just...
He guides us, points us in the right direction.
That's right. It's the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on to verse 7.
And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house.
And by the way, in the house, that would be like an outside shed where the workers could get out of the sun for a while. It wasn't like in their house.
A little shelter?
Yes, a shelter. Very right. Verse 8.
Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women."
That's right. And these were the women who actually worked for him. And it sort of looks to me like Boaz fancied Ruth. And that would be even highly unusual because, after all, she was a Gentile Moabite. But again, remember, these are actual events. This isn't just a story in there. This is actually a true story. So, again, getting back to the servant, who really guides our path? It's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's an easy answer, but sometimes we forget.
You know, we do, especially if we are going through something difficult, some kind of a predicament. We forget that we are being led by the Holy Spirit. Even in times of trouble, he's right there with us. So, boy, if we could just remember that at the time, then we wouldn't have to get so upset about things, would we?
Sometimes we have to go through a little heat sometimes.
Yes, we do. And it turns out usually pretty for a good reason,
mm-hmm.
You know, some lesson is learned.
Right.
But I also want to add that Boaz had probably heard some positive feedback by now on how Ruth had been so good to the Jewish Naomi. And in fact, we will pick up on that when we get to verse 11. But first, let's read verse 9.
"Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. I have not commanded the young men not to touch you. And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn."
In other words, they're not going to make you move on or touch you to move on because you might have been in an area too long. You can be there. And as well, possibly he told them no flirting or monkey business. I don't know, I just added that. Anyway, she understood explicitly and fell on her face, as we'll see in the next verse.
"And so she fell on her face and bowed down to the ground and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?'"
Again, a picture of Jesus Christ. He notices the unnoticed. He shows favor. He gives grace, as in our Kinsman Redeemer does.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice. But I think it's also interesting that he said, stay at my field. And that's what I think is a picture as well. We have to stay under him.
Stay close
to him. You know, we can't leave.
Yeah.
If we leave, we don't get the protection anymore. Where are we?
Verse 11.
Okay.
And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before.
So he's done his homework, and a reputation has preceded her. Continue.
Verse 12, the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge.
Okay, she's been grafted into Israel, just like us.
Amen.
I know, it's just awesome. Verse 13.
And then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants.
Meaning a Moabite. Continue.
In verse 14, now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat the bread of the bread and dip your piece of bread in vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed roasted grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back.
To take home to Naomi. This vinegar, of course, is a sour wine made from a particular kind of sour grape.
So in a sense, he's a picture of Christ, served her a type of communion.
I believe that's true. I believe there's so many pictures in here that this has to be sort of like, I mean, I could even go further and say it's kind of like the Last Supper and when he gave them the communion. And this is what's happening here again. And even that roasted grain maybe could be a picture of the roasted lamb, you know, because it had to be roasted. And it's interesting that
mm-hmm.
you know, it says roasted in there.
Right.
And then remember even back in Genesis 14, when we saw Melchizedek, who is the type of Christ, he gave bread and wine to Abraham.
Wow.
Yeah. So I see that picture there, and I just...
Pictures all over.
That's pictures all over. That's right. All right. We're going to take a quick break and have a song so that
all right.
we can take a drink of water, and then when we come back, we'll continue. And the song is... Oh, it's really good. It means that we shouldn't worry about anything. It ain't going to worry me long. Isn't that the name of it?
By the Tally Trio?
Yes, that's
mm-hmm.
it. All right, we'll be right back.
Speaking peace to me. No longer broken hearted, now I am not afraid. God's just getting started, I know He'll make a way. Father, and you are still His child. So when
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song ain't gonna worry me too long by Tally Trio.
Not too long anyway.
Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like to have her speak at your church or group? You may email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office 440-834-9006 and please leave a detailed message.
Yes, and your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air and are still tax deductible. So if you are being blessed by this program and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor. Or maybe you'd like us to advertise your establishment on our program.
Please send your love offering to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or on the World Wide Web, there's a Partner With Us button on the left side, and all donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So please include your email or house address.
And one more time, remember that all newsletters and previous radio shows are archived on shofarministries.net, and you can order any recorded teaching that you might like. The lines are open for your questions or comments. 888-677-WORD, that's 888-677-WORD. Also mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month. Shofar Assembly gathers at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio at 7 p.m. And we had a caller during the halftime break, and I want to answer her, and she asked the actual names of the meanings of the names of Ruth and Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
And Ruth's name, which is on last week's program, actually means friendship and desirable. And Naomi means pleasant.
Is there a symbolic meaning behind the name? Like, do they represent the two nations, Jew or Gentile, perhaps?
If you want to go there, probably. I think it could be. Mm-hmm. Israel is pleasant.
Yeah. Sure.
Sure. It certainly will be. We're going to be living there forever, eventually. And, of course, Ruth, friendship and desirable one, I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
The church is that, for sure. But there's meanings to everybody's name, that's for sure, and especially in the Old Testament.
Right.
Yeah. And we saw that even the names of those two sons, which was Machlon and Kilian,
mm-hmm.
they both had unhealthy and sickly names, wasting, pining, sickly, and they died early.
More pictures again.
Yeah. On and on and on. There is a book out there, though, called, oh, my gosh, am I going to remember it? It's called Jones, Meaning of Names in the Old Testament. And it's not too expensive, and it has everybody's name in there and what it means.
And to our caller, thanks for calling once again.
That's right. Thank you very much. Okay, let's continue on. We were talking about the picture or the typology of this meal that Boaz had with Ruth and his harvesters. And I just kind of like thought that maybe it was a picture of the Last Supper with Jesus, you know, because, again, Boaz is a picture of Jesus. And so I believe that because she broke bread with him. She shared the vinegar, which is a form of wine. And she had the bread. Now, it doesn't say that it was unleavened, but if it was during Passover, it probably was. And they might have been having Passover dinner. Who knows? And then, of course, she ate the roasted grain, and that could be a substitute for the roasted lamb. So, anyway, I just thought that that was a great picture. And, of course, we know that Jesus is the unleavened bread as well. So, what do you think about all that?
I think that Jesus is definitely a picture of the unleavened bread.
Yes, he's a picture of almost everything, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. As we see.
Yeah. So
amazing.
Oh, and then also remember, it was, of course, on Passover when he died on the cross, that he had his lips touched with vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yep.
With the hyssop?
Right.
So
right.
There's another correlation, at least.
Mm-hmm. Another interlocking.
Interlocking.
Yeah.
I usually say connected dots, but I wanted to change that to amazing interlocking.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
And we see it fit perfectly all the time.
That's right. All right, we have a few minutes to finish. Let's continue on with verse 15.
Sure. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded
his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her."
It was unusual for a gleaner to be allowed to pick grain this close to the harvesters. In other words, she could come up closer among the actual sheaves and not just pick it up off the ground. It's pretty exciting. They were normally permitted to glean only after the harvesters had completed all their work. And I also see that as long as she stayed in his field, like I said before, she was protected and cared for. And that is a great lesson for us to learn.
Mm-hmm. It's
and
a good
of course,
picture
how do we
well.
Do that? How do we do that?
Yeah, stay close to Jesus.
How do we do that?
Stay close, right? Reading our word.
Oh, there you go.
You know, and, you know, I think also to touch on that gleaning and harvesting, the gleaning is always followed by the harvesters, right? So the harvesters are being paid by the landowner, mm-hmm. and the gleaners are following through, picking all the corners and what's
right.
been missed after that first pass.
That's right.
So, the fact that she was closer to the harvesters means, like, she had first, you know, almost
absolutely
top
and
the,
we can be
top
closer
of the pick, if you will,
and we can be closer as well.
And that's a picture of how, you know, when your heart's striving for him, you know, you can have that passion,
that longing,
right?
Yeah.
So, and then he gives you a favor.
That's right.
You know, so.
And the next verse, Boaz goes even further.
And so let grain from bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her.
Yes. So I love this. Now extra and on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Intentionally. I see the progression of blessings, of course.
Okay. Absolutely right.
And verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned. And it was about ephah of barley.
Yeah. And that's about a bushel.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And verse 18. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied.
So Naomi shared in that meal as well, in a sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, this whole thing is making Naomi quite curious.
And so verse 19, her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name whom I work today is Boaz."
Okay, and again, if I had a pinger, I'd go ping, 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 because Naomi makes this huge connection right now.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 20.
And so then then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives."
That's right. Now, in the original, it actually says, "The man is near of kin of our redeemers." And that would be a goel is the expression that they use. So I kind of wish the translators would have used the correct words in this case, but maybe they thought many wouldn't know what a kinsman redeemer meant.
Or a new believer might not understand that.
That's
type
possible.
Of,
but it's there. And although, you know, you have to know, maybe some would actually look it up, and that's what we call study.
So what do you recommend for studying, by the way?
Well, I always recommend having your own interlinear for personal study, and that's the actual Greek and Hebrew Masoretic text, and it has the English written right up above it and the Strong's Concordance numbers, so it's easy to look up the meaning. But I think everybody should have one, you know, as part of their personal study. Anyway, I use one. And do recommend J.P. Green from Sovereign Grace Publishers. That's
okay.
The one I use, and it works well, and it's, you know, maybe $100.
Mm, wow.
Yeah. But you'll have it for the rest of your life.
Right.
You know, so. Anyway, 21.
Verse 21, Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, Ye shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.
Okay, Naomi has figured it out that Ruth has caught his eye.
In verse 22, and Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young woman.
Women.
Women, and that people who do not meet you in any other field.
Yeah, I just want to make clear
sorry about that.
More than one. Anyway, yes, in other words, as we've been saying, stay in the fold of believers. And that's a picture of us, how we're supposed to continue with talking with Christians, fellowshipping, and, you know, having little Bible studies, and stick with people of you, you know, that are like-minded.
Sure.
And so we're going to finish it with verse 23.
So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest. And at the beginning, the wheat harvest, she dealt with her mother-in-law.
Yeah, she dwelt with her mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And that ends chapter 2. And I think we have maybe 2 minutes. I just want to go over something really quick. Once again, the barley harvest is at the time of Passover. The wheat harvest is about 50 days after the barley harvest. And, of course, we call that Pentecost or Shavuot. In Hebrew, the Jewish liturgy requires the reading of the Book of Ruth at Shavuot.
Which is why we are studying it at this time of the year.
Exactly why. First, the barley harvest began with the Feast of the First Fruits, and that's in late March, early April, and ended at the Feast of Weeks. It's another word for Pentecost. When the wheat harvest begins sometime, usually June or early July, which is coming up, as you know. And you can read about that in Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 16, 2 Samuel 21. And we're going to have to leave the rest for next time. I have a couple other things we're going to talk about, more of the law of redemption next week. And we're also going to be talking about the Levirate, I guess is how you say it, marriage. And that's not a Levi marriage. That's a different thing. So we'll be covering that next time. So I hope you won't miss the program. And if you are listening out there and you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, or maybe you are one of those in Matthew 7 who only have a head knowledge of him and not a heart conviction, get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy could take that seat away. Repent of your individual sins that are lingering in your life. Then commit, or in some cases, recommit your life to Yeshua. He's the Messiah of anybody who wants him. He's knocking on the door of your heart. How could anyone not let him in? But it's always your choice and yours alone to choose him, thereby making it your decision where you go after death. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul, that never dies, spends eternity. It has to go somewhere, with God or with Satan. But you must make that call. And because of Yeshua's resurrection, you can live happy ever after. And who knows what God can do and accomplish right now through you in your life before he calls us home.
Would you like Sheila to speak at your church or group, or have a question? You may email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office at 440-834-9006. And please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministry Hour.
Yes, and please let us know if you made that commitment tonight to Jesus. Let us know about that. I want to give you a little advice and help you along. The Aaronic blessing is number 62227. Yevrekaka Adonai Vish Mareka Yair Adonai Panav Eleka Vikuneka. Yesei Adonai Panav Eleka Vyasam Aha Shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Till then. Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray.
For the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
And that's not a maybe, that's an absolute promise.
And you can read that, Psalm 122, verse 6.
That's right. So till next week, join us back.
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom, everyone.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.